So how was that for you post Corey Silverberg interview? I'm feeling, oh, so good. So good.
Yeah. I feel like that was an amazing recording. They were amazing. But also I feel like for you personally, it really connected with a lot of stuff that's like you're passionate about, that's important. Mm-hmm. I could see it like landing in a different way for you.
I feel like it was one of those interviews where I could follow everything, like I understood everything, but also I felt challenged appropriately in places where they said things that I wasn't expecting that answer, or it was kind of different to, you know, my way of thinking of like or previous things I've heard. So it was like, yeah, it was just such a great chat and they were so lovely.
Yeah, they're awesome. I'm really happy they came on and shared so much wisdoms. And yeah, I just like had really, really interesting perspectives about different things, like the sort of language element, that correct in air quote language, like isn't necessarily the most inclusive, whether that takes away people's opportunities to choose their own language, or just thinking about language, is there being a correct language choice in general? I thought that was really interesting and like makes so much sense. Yeah. Like I was thinking about the term yoni, which is almost like a more ancient, like older term, but I feel like that would never really be included in sex education. That's more like, spiritual, like la la la. But that's a really valid term for a lot of people and also comes from the more like Eastern culture and language around sex.
Yeah. One thing that we didn't explicitly mention in that episode, but I was thinking about, and I think it's because in my head I was like trying to think like, oh, this is going to go in the disability episode and this will probably go in the parenting episode, but actually a lot of the themes that were discussed were like the foundation of it was the same, which was about like bodily autonomy and your own inner knowledge about your body. And so, you know, we talked about that a lot in terms of disability, in terms of like disabled people knowing their body best and like the experience of living in their body, and then talking about it in the context of like sex education for young people, in terms of it's not this like adult coming in being like, I know everything, I'm going to teach you everything, but actually young people having their own knowledge and their own their own knowledge about their own bodies and values and sex.
Corey said embodied knowledge. That's much more important though. And I wrote that bit down because I thought that was beautiful. Yeah. I totally agree. Yeah, that the facts, the words, it doesn't matter as much as people having a sense of their own body and like embodying it in a way that makes sense with them and their bodies or their sexualities.
And also,
I thought that was a beautiful
point. I didn't
bring
this up in it as well because I just didn't feel like it was super relevant to share. But because I have like absorbed the messaging about like using the correct terms for your kids' genitals and various and body parts and stuff, and I loved the way that Corey challenged that. But I actually, you know, sometimes call Rowan's genitals a penis and sometimes a willy, but I much prefer the term willy. And then whenever I use the term willy, I have this voice in my head being like, you're a bad sex educator. You're being a bad sex positive mum because you're using the wrong word. And now that voice is gone. Goodbye, that voice.
No, that's like, so good. Yeah,
goodbye that negative self-talk. Like, yeah, I think that really also just kind of like, it's all about the context, because I'm like, you know, eventually he can call it whatever he wants to call it, but understanding like, yeah, at those different life stages, giving them the context and understanding of like, you know, if you're in this situation, maybe you want to communicate to these kinds of people, then you say this so that they know what you're talking about.
And I think the thing with words is more like, are different words being used because there's an embarrassment or a shame or even like an attempted erasure of those body parts? Or is it just that, actually, I prefer this word. And those are two really different things. Something else Corey brought up that I thought was interesting and made me think was their point about when people are attracted to disabled people, they worry that they're fetishizing.
Oh yeah, we didn't like go down the route of fetishization. Yeah.
Yeah, it made me think about this theme of, yeah, if you're commonly attracted to someone of a minority group, there is this question of like, am I fetishizing them? Is it that I just like really see that beauty in that sort of group of people? And like, yeah, there's always this sort of automatic concern that if you're regularly attracted to someone of a minority group that you're fetishizing them. And I thought that was really interesting.
That this, you're a deviant.
Yeah, and it is important to question that, because a lot of people do.
But you wouldn't say the same thing. Like, say if you were predominantly attracted to white, able-bodied, thin people, you wouldn't be like, do I have a fetish? You wouldn't think, like, that's not
I know. It's only for minority groups.
Or in the, like, in the hierarchy of, like, desirability politics, if you sexually desire someone who is not seen as desirable in terms of normative, like, you know, cis, hetero, white supremacist, but all of that stuff, if then you're like, ooh, is there something non-normative about me?
Yeah.
If I find that desirable. Yeah, interesting.
Something else I really love that they spoke about was, and I feel like this is something you've talked about in your YouTube videos, is how some disabled people say, when they've had an acquired disability, their approach to sex has had to completely change. But for many, it ends up being a positive thing, because they're not just going along with sort of sexual scripts. Yeah.
I actually really loved that they took that question and answered it in a positive way, because I think it would have been so easy to take that question that I asked and been like, this is why it's hard. But actually, you could tell that they were very intentional about not doing that, which I again, wasn't expecting, which is like part of that problem, but also very refreshing. And
But it was a great recording. I think I'm really excited about this disability episode. We've got a recording later today with Lolo Spencer, the actress in Sex Lives of College Girls, and disability and sex lawyer Claire Tarn, I think, like, and all really different perspectives. And yeah, I think this episode's shaping up really well and really powerfully.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be good. It's gonna be good. I'm trying to think if there's anything else for the lovely patrons to know about. I'm ill. There's that. I'm doing this. Although I'm actually like doing this made me feel better. I like came into this feeling like so tired. Not really eating anything of sustenance today because not looking forward to the fact that the Lolo one is like later in the evening, because I did need to go to bed at like 7:30 last night, but it's fine, we power through.
We could do our review another day if you're feeling,
we'll see how I feel after it, not so good. But there's a bit of a behind the scenes for you anyway. Also a bit of behind the scenes, Mia needs to run off. So this is going to be a short. Yeah. So how is that for you?
Yeah. But thank you so much.
Yeah,
it was brilliant.
Thank you. All right. Bye.